Today, Sudbury police announced that they are charging two parents and their teenager under the state's social host law. At issue, the family allegedly hosted a party at their private residence where police say at least 50 minors consumed alcohol. And as a result of the party, Lincoln Sudbury Regional High School switched to all remote learning for 2 weeks. And therein lies the rub. Now, normally a high school party isn't the type of news story we'd cover, but this isn't normally. And the decision by the Sudbury police raises an interesting question. Would the police have charged this family anyway? They did break the law. Or is this a sign of a new phase in the pandemic? Will we start turning to civil and criminal law to compel each other to coronavirus compliance? Now, tomorrow, we're going to take your calls on how you are feeling about and navigating the need or the desire to be social during the pandemic. But today, we want to explore this legal question and the status of personal freedoms during this public health crisis. Joining us to do so is civil liberties attorney Harvey Silverglate. Harvey, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Good to be back after a while.
So, Harvey, I want to note that we don't know much beyond what I've already said about this particular case. But even with the information we have, what do you make of it? Any sense that this might be the shape of things to come?
Well, I think this is the shape of things to come while the pandemic is raging. I don't think that it's going to result in any permanent change in the law. But, you know, law accommodates extraordinary circumstances. And when the extraordinary circumstances disappear, the law usually, or at least it's supposed to, go back to being what it was before the emergency. And the law is not blind to the realities out on the street. And so while ordinarily the police would have no say about such a gathering as you were just describing, in a pandemic, the police and the state do have something to say, and they say it. And if their commands are disobeyed, they will proceed with a criminal charge. So we're extraordinary times for civil liberties and criminal law.
I want to ask you a couple of questions based on that. The first is, so in this case, there was law that covered the illegality of the party from a drinking standpoint. The question is whether the COVID aspect of it was really what motivated the police to act. Is it unusual in a public health crisis like this? And these are accusations. We don't, you know, there hasn't been a trial. Nobody has been convicted.
Yep.
In a situation like this, do we see the use of existing law applied in new ways for public health?
Well, first of all, I doubt very much that the police would have made such a big fuss over just the underage drinking. I think it was a combination of the underage drinking, but more importantly, it was the gathering without face masks, in close proximity, without social distancing, of a group of people during a pandemic where the governor has issued orders prohibiting such gatherings.
So that's the other question. With the pandemic, the governor and other governors have asserted this power. You called it extraordinary circumstances a couple of minutes ago. We are seeing some pretty significant protests around the country and around the world pushing back on restrictions to behavior. I'm thinking about the armed people lining the walls of the Michigan State House back in the spring, the anti-mask rally in Utah in August, that footage of it went viral last week. And then, you know, there have been anti-mask protests in London, Melbourne, Rome, Madrid. Where is the line between public health and civil liberties? And is this pushback appropriate in this moment, or is it overly fearful of a kind of a crackdown that's not going to permanently threaten people's sense of freedom and way of life?
Well, let me put it this way. The law allows you pretty much to do to yourself whatever it is you want to do. You want to eat unhealthy food, you can eat unhealthy food. If you want to not brush your teeth and lose all your teeth in your 20s, you can do that. The law doesn't stop you from self-inflicted wounds, if I can use that term. But the problem with the pandemic is that if you don't take care of yourself, you are likely to have a very destructive impact on somebody else next to you. So if you have the COVID and you get close to somebody, you know, within 6 or 8 feet, you are endangering that person if you don't have a mask. And so it's not just a problem of the law forcing you to take care of yourself. The law is forcing you to not inflict damage on other people. And that's the rub. So ordinary, you know, a civil libertarian, and I consider myself to be a very strong civil libertarian, I would say that the state has no right to keep you from hurting yourself. But it does have a right to keep you from hurting somebody else. And that's the problem. This is a very painful period for people who believe in liberty and who believe in strict limitations on the power of the state.
You said at the beginning, you talked about, you know, we're in these extraordinary circumstances. You didn't have a concern that when the extraordinary circumstances were over, that we would continue to see use of the law in this way. I found myself thinking, okay, but who says when the extraordinary circumstances are over? How do we know when we're out of that moment and continuing crackdowns aren't appropriate and shouldn't be happening? I can just hear the slippery slope concern in a listener's mind on this.
Well, there's always a slippery slope concern whenever we allow the government to exert enhanced powers. And it's really a matter of being very observant, following things carefully, looking at the science. Ours is a society that places a strong reliance on science in order to determine when the emergency, when the crisis is over. And then civil libertarians and anyone who cares about freedom has to push back hard to make sure that the government, which asserted these extraordinary powers, drops them, you know, disasserts them, and goes back to the status quo before the emergency.
Do you think that there will be a long tail on any of this? So, for example, I never took my shoes off in an airport before 2001, and I will take my shoes off in an airport for the rest of my life. We think differently now about FISA warrants or other aspects of the Patriot Act that have become part of our everyday existence after 9/11. Is there anything that you think will change between the law and public health that may change permanently?
I don't think so, because this is very different from 9/11. The threat of terrorism and bombs planted on and explosive devices taken onto airplanes is I think that's forever. But at the nature of a pandemic is at some point it either burns itself out or there's a vaccine. We've had epidemics in the past. I was a young kid when there was a polio epidemic. There were certain steps taken. When the polio epidemic passed, those steps were no longer necessary, and they disappeared. So we have to be vigilant to make sure that government doesn't use this as an excuse to retain enhanced powers. And I think that, that especially in Massachusetts, you know, which has a long history of being a little bit suspicious of government overreach, I think we'll be okay.
So last question for you then, Harvey. Are you comfortable with, and do you think right now we have the right balance between use of the law to preserve us in this public health moment and our civil liberties? It sounds to me like you're saying you're comfortable with the balance that we have in place.
Well, you're using a word that I don't usually use to describe myself, comfortable.
Which is comfortable.
Am I comfortable? No. Do I think that the government has asserted about as much power as it needs currently? Yes, I'm okay with that, but I always prefer to keep my eyes open. What's the old expression? Trust but verify. I'm trusting the government on this one, but I'd like to keep my eyes open and verify.
And that is Harvey Silverglade.
That's perfect. Does that sound okay?
It does. Puts me at ease, Harvey. Harvey's an attorney specializing civil liberties. Harvey, thanks for coming on today.
My pleasure.